I think they're a mix of calm and crazy.
They're just fun.
They're like a married couple.
They're hilarious.
SAFM Breakfast.
We're back and soda.
Start listening.
Welcome along to the podcast. Beck, we are in a little autumn heat wave right now.
We are. Summer's over and she's heating up.
Big night tonight because WOMAD starts. If you're not familiar with WOMAD, you won't hear any of that on our station. None of the music will ever be played here. But it was a world music festival and you're right into this. This is hairy armpits. This is sweaty. And this is Dead Bats.
Oh, yeah. Look, Dead Bats is what I didn't have on my WOMAD bingo card for this year, that's for sure.
So we're talking to your Botanic Park there on Hackney Road in Adelaide. They've got a big festival for, what is it, 3 or 4 days, WOMAD?
It's 4 days.
Right. So, and the bats are all in this area. I think it's going to be so hot that bats will be dropping out of the sky onto the WOMAD crowd, legitimately.
Yeah, I know. I have been pooed on by a bat at WOMAD before.
Really?
Sitting under a tree, minding my own business, swaying along to some African drumming music, and next minute...
What's the consistency of a bat poo?
It's tacky and kind of purpley colour.
Oh, because they berries.
Yeah, berry. And
right.
It's, I mean, I don't know if it's lucky or unlucky, but I'd rather be hit by their poo than one of them, I think.
I can't believe they're actually saying, this is a legitimate warning, that bats will fall from the sky and die, and there's going to be bat officers walking around at WOMAD picking up dead bats and putting them in hazmat bins.
Don't pick up a bat if you see it yourself, because imagine it could just be having a little snooze and then it might bite you.
I'll tell you, the bats won't be coming near the people because a lot of them don't give themselves a wash to their hairy armpits. It's WOMAD. If you had the razor away for a couple of weeks in a build-up, because you're going this weekend, hey?
You can choose whether or not to remove hair. It is like every person's choice.
It's like the Chewbacca, the Wookiee Festival. Have fun.
Come on, stay cool, hydrate.
To where?
WOMAD. All the people that pot it have never set foot. And when you do, you are in a paradise of peace.
No, you're not. You're getting shit on by bats the whole time.
All right. Let's get into the podcast, the Beck and Soda.
This is SAFM's Beck and Soda.
Good morning, South Australia. Good morning, Soda. It is International Women's Day today.
Oh, beautiful. What does that mean for all of us? What do we need to be doing for International Women's Day? Celebrate the women in our lives?
It is a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. Yes, we celebrate powerful and inspiring women, but we also acknowledge the ongoing gender inequality that exists and how we can change it, and issues, important issues like violence against women. But I was lucky enough to attend the Advertiser Woman of the Year Awards last night. And the winner,
yes,
Gabora Ali, an Afghan refugee whose father was saved, plucked from the ocean by the Australian Navy.
Yeah.
And she has now dedicated her life to service. And she is now in the armed forces, in the Air Force, because she was, as she said, they've saved my family. And now I'm going to give back to
a bit of payback.
Yeah.
Good on her. What's it, Gabora, is it?
Her name is Kabora.
Kabora. Good on you, Kabora.
Yeah.
So our South Australian Woman of the Year.
Absolutely outstanding night. But last year's winner, astronaut Catherine Bennell Pegg, there was a video link hook up with her from Germany where she is training to become Australia's first female astronaut, but also the first Australian to train as an astronaut under the Australian flag. So Andy Thomas must have trained under another nation's flag, which I'm not...
Adelaide's own.
Yeah. So she had some extraordinary insights about the training that is required to become an astronaut.
Yeah.
Because they have to do everything up in the International Space Station. So you would have liked it. She's training to be a firefighter in case there are fires on the International Space Station. She's training to be essentially a doctor. They showed images of her learning to stitch on a chicken carcass, like a chicken leg, because if someone cuts themselves, obviously they have to be everything up in the International Space Station, learning how to spacewalk, scuba dive. So we should be very proud of her as well.
I'd interview Andy Thomas once, right? Mm-hmm. And I used to work with this bloke who was fascinated. He used to walk around in a NASA t-shirt and all that sort of thing. Anyway, Andy Thomas came in and we were chatting to him. And as we finished, this guy comes in who used to work with him and goes, Andy Thomas, I'm such a big fan. He goes, when I went to NASA in America, I bought this amazing pen that you can write upside down. Because you know when you write upside down, the ink comes out? He goes, this is amazing. They told us it's a space pen. And he said, are these the sort of pens you use to stop the ink from going upside down? Andy Thomas goes, no, mate, we use pencils.
This is SAFM's Beck and Soda.
It's time to reach out to a friend with a pool.
Absolutely.
I used to love that. You know, I used to ride around in my mate's house and Glenn Compty. right? He was the only kid we knew with an in-ground pool. He was the only rich kid that we had as a mate. Anyway, you'd go around and you'd ride around on a hot day and you'd have your towel in your pack rack.
Is that the key? Back. Have your towel.
You just have your towel. G'day, Glenn, how are you, buddy? Good, mate. Mendez is his nickname. Mendez, how are you going? Awesome. Yeah. And then about four kids would rock up with towels on their pack racks. Before you knew it, we're jumping in Mendez's pool.
How did Glenn's mum feel about this?
Terrific. Yeah. She loved us. And his dad, Johnny and Junie, that'd be right. Let's go, boys. The party pies would be out and we'd stay at Glenn's for the whole time.
And your payment, all you had to bring was a packet of chips.
Well, that's good if you were considerate enough.
And then they'd get wet. You know when you put your hand in.
Oh, no, you don't eat them in the pool, mate. You
don't eat always eat them
out in the pool. No food in the pool.
No, I'd always eat them when I got out and I'd drip in my packet of chips.
Then you'd have to wait half an hour before you went back in.
I heard that's an urban myth. I grew up my whole life not swimming half an hour after I'd eaten. Is that really untrue?
Well, so what happens is because you've eaten food, all of the blood goes to your digestive system, right?
Yeah.
Because it has to digest the food. Mm. And so then there's a lack of oxygen going around your body because the oxygen's carried in the hemoglobin and the red blood cells. And so that means that you can't exercise because your body's actually processing the food.
No, my mum told me that I might like vomit the food up and choke on it.
No, I had cramps. Yeah. Cramps, and then you, like if you're out in the ocean, you get cramps and you can't swim.
That's all absolute BS. I just made that up.
This is SAFM's Beck and Soda.
Oh, long weekend. Very exciting. What's on, Soda? What are you doing?
We've got a trial dog.
Say what?
We've got a trial dog. So we haven't had a pet dog with the kids before, so I'm borrowing a Cavoodle for the weekend, the long weekend.
That's not a dog.
What do you mean it's not a dog?
It's a test tube baby.
Hey, whoa.
Oh, jeez.
That's a big statement.
Like, harsh. Your little Cavoodle. So we'll be doing a
Cavoodle owners.
Bit of dog training.
Cool.
What do I need to know? My kids haven't had a dog.
Well, it would be house trained. That's your main issue with a puppy. My dog's still not house trained. He pooed in my slipper. The kids will love it. Yeah. There's no way you're going to have a little fluffy Cavoodle for 4 days and the kids are going to go, nah, I don't want one of my own. No way.
Well, hopefully it's going to be good. Just to teach them, you know, some care and responsibility, some attachment, some comfort and that sort of thing.
You know? Do you know what it is for me with my kids? They promised they would walk the dog every single day if we got one and they don't walk it.
Never?
Like once a fortnight, one of them might get out and walk it.
Well, that's because he's crazy.
We'll see. This is why I'm going with a little trial dog.
Yeah.
So I can see whether they're actually able to be up for the responsibility.
It's a good first dog.
What's what's the trial dog's name?
Mavis.
Little
Mavis. Hey, a tiny little thing too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm actually looking forward to it.
Little lap dog. You're going to carry it around in your handbag down to the shops?
You know, Paris Hilton.
Put a little bandana around its neck.
Cool.
Yeah, it'd be good though, won't it?
Yeah.
Sleeps on the bed too. But they don't shed Cavoodles though, do they?
No,
because they're manufactured.
What do you mean they're manufactured?
Well, they're bred to be little designer dogs. It's a designer dog. Why don't you go down to the Animal Welfare League and rescue one like I did?
That's a good idea too.
That's a really good idea for some people as well. This is only a trial dog. I mean, we might end up down the Animal Welfare League, you know, looking for a dog at some point.
You won't find a Cavoodle.
Why not? Isn't the Animal Welfare League, there's all sorts of dogs, isn't there?
There are different breeds. I kept an eye out for it. If I find a Cavoodle, I'll start looking for you.
You can't you can't swap Wolfie.
Look, can I not an exchange on my dog?
Not an exchange program.
You will love Mavis and I'm sure the kids will love to welcome her.
They will.
Cavoodle or a Spoodle or a Groodle into your home.
I don't need to borrow Wolfie as a trial dog, though.
No, you can have Wolfie anytime you want.
I think you need to start to just develop some nice attachment. Get your kids to walk the dog if they promise. Teach them some responsibility.
Walk the dog, you promised.
SAFM's Beck and Soda.
We are being warned at WOMAD to watch for dead bats dropping out of the sky.
That's amazing, isn't it? I had no idea because everyone would know if you go into Botanic Park, the Botanic Gardens there are, I think, 60,000 bats thereabouts. It doubled over the last few years. And in fact, those bats only arrived in 2010 there.
That's why
I was wondering why I'd never seen them.
When did you start researching the bat colony?
You just keep an eye on things from up above. Because, you know, at night, you see them.
It's an amazing sight.
They move at night. There's just thousands and thousands of them. But I didn't realise it's going to be so hot that some of them just drop from the sky. Can you believe that?
There are going to be bat bins, but festival goers are being told, don't you pick them up yourself because they are disease-ridden. So there's going to be bat people.
You could end up getting a rabies shot. So there'll be bat men and women just walking around in full PPE, right? And if they find a dead carcass, they'll pick it up and stick it in the bin. So don't touch it if you're there at WOMAD. It's probably a wise thing not to touch anything at WOMAD because a lot of people haven't washed. So, and they're hairy and stuff.
You can listen out for them falling as well. They'll make this sound.
Well, they'll be everywhere. I was just stunned by this. Did you know bats just fall out of the sky?
No, I have at previous WOMADs, because you know I'm a long time WOMADer. Have been pooed on by a bat while I was swaying along to some African drums.
It sounded like this.
It got all over my hemp overalls.
You cop a bat chat.
I got shat on my bat, and it's purple and it's really thick and berry-like.
Oh, because I assume they just eat berries off trees, do they?
Just eat berries and then just poo them on innocent festival goers.
Actually, no one's innocent there. Be very, very careful.
Yes.
I don't even think the bats would want to drop into WOMAD. Let's be honest, they might just fly off and keep going.
You know what? It's people like you and your anti-WOMAD attitude that we don't want amongst us peaceful, world music-loving festival goers.
Don't worry, I won't be there.
One of the acts should play this song. Yeah? Batman.
Have you ever been to WOMAD?
Never been to WOMAD. Never.
No.
Yeah. Anyway, have a great weekend.
Okay,
I'll see
you there.
Stay cool.
WOMAD.
Who's
people
playing at WOMAD this year?
Ziggy
Who we
Marley,
got to look forward to?
Oh, yeah, Bob Marley.
Oh, yeah. Fascinating. Who else?
Do you know what? It's about the vibe.
No. Who else is playing?
They're the main headliners.
What about some of the others?
What
too,
you
are
do? No. Honestly.
Yeah, but who are they?
You don't need to know. You wander. You get there. You look at the fixture, and you wander from set to set, stage to stage.
There's a sprinkler system going as well.
Yeah. Well, I'll turn it on you in a minute.
You might wash some of the people out. The sprinkler system's there to cool the bats down. They said in between sets they can turn it on. So don't be afraid to take a bar of soap with you.
If you know, you know. Okay. And my beautiful WOMAD lovers, I will see you there.
All right. Have a great weekend, everybody. Stay cool. 40
it's
tomorrow.
Be so good.
This is SAFM's Beck and Soda.
Special guest joining us this year as well, Erin Phillips, everybody.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And welcome to the team.
Erin, happy International Women's Day. I want to talk to you about the juggle, because all of the working mums I've been talking to this week about what are you doing for International Women's Day? Are you going to do a breakfast? All of them said, I'd love to do a breakfast, but I'm too bloody tired and I'm too bloody busy. Now, you have four kids. How old are they all now?
So the twins are 7 and a half. Drew, he's going to be 5 in a couple of months, and we have a 9-month-old.
That's crazy.
Little girl. So busy household, but you've got three kids.
I know, and it's how busy it is. Think the thing, Erin, about feminism is it tells women that you can have it all and you can do it all. But the thing is, you actually, mentally and physically, cannot do it all every day. And whatever slips through the cracks, whether it's work or whether it's, you know, you forget to send something with the kids or I had something at night the other night, a job that I was doing, and I had to organise how to get the girls to netball training and I had to put lunch in the mental load is just exhausting.
What do you prioritise then?
Well, it's different every day. I try and triage. So I'm like, okay, well, I can't not do that thing because I'm getting paid to be there. So I'm like, well, dinner is slipping today. Kids, you've got a frozen lasagna in the fridge. Yep. So it's just, it's working out what to prioritize, but then always feeling inadequate.
Yes. And that's very, very common. And
I feel like this is therapy.
No, it is.
Your feelings are normal.
No, and it's like, it's such a great thing to talk about, because so many women, and even when they come up to me and say, oh my God, you have four, even if you have one kid, it's hard. Like, so don't compare 1 to 4 to 5. It's like being a parent is such a hard job, and finding the balance.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just fail. Yeah. All right. And that's okay.
Yeah.
How do you and Tracy, your wife, the Texan, of course, how do you guys go with four kids? Do you have certain roles each, or do you just both go, bang, we've got to handle it all?
Well, you know what? I knew motherhood was going to be really tough, so I married a woman. And so there's two.
So unfair. I want a wife.
And you know what? I got the good end because I didn't even have to deliver. So I got to be a mum without all that stuff. But it is like Tracy and I are a great team. Mm. We have our roles that we kind of go to. Tracy's more of the cleaner. Mm-hmm. I'm the one who kind of messes things up. No, I like to cook. Obviously, I coach and do some sporting things with the kids, but we have a nice balance. And obviously, we pick up roles if we have to, if someone's falling behind in an area. But, you know, 9 times out of 10, we know what we have to do. And we're not always perfect at it. I mean, God, like sometimes we send them, we forget their water bottles or we do something and we just go, you know what? Every time we tuck them in, they've got a roof over their head, they've had dinner, they're safe, they're happy. And at the end of the day, if you can do that for your kids, I think that's you're on a winner.
Is that gratitude I just heard coming out there?
Yes.
Being grateful for what you have, not what you have got.
Absolutely.
Mm. What about like in your relationship, the mental load? So who does, if you got a kid's birthday party, who's the one who knows when the party is, buys the presents, Christmas presents? Because that's me and I resent that deeply.
Yes. I can hear Tracy listening going, it's me. She knows it's me. But yes, it is. Yeah. It is Tracy because, you know, I have, with obviously all the stuff that I do outside of being a parent, it's a lot. So Tracy does handle those things. But like I do have so much mum guilt all the time, you know, just constantly thinking, oh, I wish I could do this with them today, or I've got to go do this and I can't, you know, I'm not home for one night here. And I do have a lot of guilt, but I also know that, you know, the times that I do spend with them are quality, and I make
you're
sure
very
that
present.
No phones, and you know, I don't want my kids to be trying to talk to me when I'm, you know, texting or anything like that. So
when you've got four, can you individualize the time, or do you try and do, you know what I mean? Because each kid, you want to give each kid their own.
Yeah.
No matter whether you're, you know, a man, a woman, whatever, you want to make sure that you can give each kid their own time.
Absolutely.
How do you do that with bloody four?
It is hard. That's why I have no time. But you're like, you know, now the kids are coming home with schoolwork, homework, so you're sitting down.
The readers.
You know, readers and all that. Yeah.
Sounds like so much more for Tracy to do.
I do it as well. There you go. I can hear Tracy again. No, you don't. It is such a hard juggle. And I feel like the parents out there that feel like, you know, some days you're failing, that's okay, you know, and giving yourself some slack because it is a lot to juggle. But like I said, the quality time that you do give your kids is really important. And that's what I tried to focus on. But if there is a secret recipe out there, if somebody does have it right, and you please let us know, share the secret.
I think that's just so comforting for women out there who are probably juggling the school run right now, just to know that, you know, a woman who is obviously as successful as you doesn't get it right all the time. Things slip through the cracks, and we're all just doing our best. And if that's the message you take out on International Women's Day, just keep going, women.
Yes,
you're
sisters.
Doing great.
Do it.
SAFM's Beck and Soda.
Astounding story I've come across. We have got Erin Phillips joining us as well. But before Erin is about to hop in a Lamborghini and take little Chloe off for deluxe drop-off to St. Dom's Primary School. But before you take off, I had to get...
A big issue, Erin.
Mm. This is a massive issue.
Yeah, you've been really stressed about this.
This is a warning for all kids. So if you're on your way to school and you're in the car right now, do not do this at school. Right, remember when you're at school, the old school dacking?
Yeah, right. Particularly when kids were wearing tracksuit pants.
Yeah, okay. It used to happen all the time, right?
Well, I didn't dack anyone and I wasn't dacked, but I'm assuming you've dacked people.
Well, when you're a kid, you dacked people,
You've
right?
got dacker written all over
think,
you.
Yeah, I don't think it happens much now, does it? But you would have been dacking kids at Seton High.
No, I wasn't dacking anybody.
You're a dacker from way back, aren't you?
No, what is this story about?
So this story,
keep him on track, Erin. Thank you.
On Kangaroo Island, there's a bloke called Todd Belford. He's involved in the racing industry. This is astounding, right? He's been banned for 5 years. 5 years from racing because they actually had a Racing SA official, right, who was doing breathalyzer testing, right? Okay. So I assume they're at the racetrack there in KI. This bloke, Todd Belford, went up and dacked the official.
The official was doing his job.
Dacked another grown man. He dacked him that well that he actually removed everything he was wearing below the waist, which is
That's embarrassing. That's mortifying.
He went two layers deep, did he?
Well, we assume he did. And then what's happened now? He's been banned for 5 years. Do not try this at school under any circumstances because you'd probably get expelled.
Well, but school being the operative word, like who's doing that in a workplace? It's so juvenile.
A grown man has gone and dacked an official who is doing breathalyzer testing.
I love the fact that you love this, though.
I know.
It's fascinating.
This is so up your alley.
Well, the thing that got me is that, like you said, it's the full DAC. So he completely exposed this bloke. Hence, he's in such a big drama now with 5 years. He had to plead guilty. He got a $900 fine. Oh, no, that was for something else he did. God, he's got
it's
four.
It's pretty hard to DAC somebody. Full DAC somebody, isn't
so
it?
So perhaps he was commando.
Actually, he might have been.
Maybe he didn't.
Because if he's just gone the strides and there were no jockettes, underneath, or little jockeys.
No, Nick, it sounds like a 1950s band.
If he
goes commando anymore,
I don't know.
Or ever.
Have you ever been commando?
I have occasionally gone commando if I have. If I have like a fitted dress where there would be a VPL, I will go commando, but I'm a bit self-conscious about it.
A VPL.
Yeah. I don't even know what that is.
Yes, all right, sorry. It's Friday.
What about you? You would have commanded,
okay.
Surely.
No.
At no point in your life.
Okay, I did go commando on an international level.
What do you mean? When you went to the White House with Barack Obama?
No.
Were you wearing undies when you met Barack?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
No, definitely. That was a prerequisite. Everyone was checked.
Off undies? Where did you go commando?
I went commando. I actually won a silver medal in it. Going commando.
Did you go commando at the Olympics?
Yes, I did.
Did you?
Okay, let me explain. Let me defend myself.
Daily Mail, Erin.
You won an Olympic silver medal commando.
Well, we had bodysuits in Beijing.
Oh, of course.
And they were like triple layered. All right, so technically you could argue that I had two layers under the, original layer of the bodysuit.
Right, but no undies.
Well, no, because they left a really big line. If you're, like, trying to play basketball, there's a big, line. And I didn't like wearing, I don't like wearing G-strings, so that was the option. And I can, I can probably vouch that at least 80% of us were commando, surely.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Where was the,
commando at the Olympics.
Where was the front seam?
Front seam? Plenty of camel toes.
Okay, Melissa has called in from Aberfoyle Park. Do you like to go commando, Mel?
I do. I actually haven't worn underwear in 20 years.
Right, Mel. Any particular reason?
I feel like they're a snatch trap, like on hot, sweaty days.
Okay, sorry.
We don't need to repeat.
I've never heard that before in my
life. Thank you,
Melissa. So, Mel, just one day 20 years ago you decided that you just needed to be free?
Yeah, one particular hot summer when I was 17, it was too much, no more.
Mel, it begs the question, what about when you go shopping for clothes?
Nothing on.
Oh!
if people think that, this is why you shouldn't try on clothes at the shop, take it home.
Because people like you are getting around with no pants on, Mel.
Straight up.
That's why they have that little...
If you think someone hasn't been in your pants before without wearing underwear, you're dreaming.
Thank you, Mel.
This is SAFM's Beck and Soda.
Beck, we love the Garden of Unearthly Delights. It is going great guns. And one of our favourites who comes in every year, Will Anderson, joins us. Will, you're still going with the names. We've got to Will Legitimate now.
Oh, you said it well too, so just, I appreciate that, mate. Will Legitimate.
Will Legitimate.
That has tripped some people up already. When you first start doing a new show, this is the thing, Beck, about being in Adelaide. It's my first run of my new show every year.
Oh, well, you're guinea pigs.
And you are. And it kind of is because... You're such good guinea pigs.
Thank
if you don't
you.
Want to be guinea pigs, stop being so good at being guinea pigs. I don't know if you know this, but when they've got new products on the market, they will often come and test them in South Australia.
I did not
because
know
it
this.
Turns out that if people in South Australia like them, the rest of the country is more likely to like them as well.
Is that right?
So, yes, and it's the same with the arts festivals.
You would understand that, of course, because of all the work you do with Gruen.
Yes.
And they test so many different things. Do you know why Adelaide is so receptive?
I honestly don't know, but I do know that you are an audience that likes to try things. And you know what?
Yep.
I like it about Adelaide. I like the whole vibe of it. I like that it's flat. I like that, I'm an old man with bad hips. Mm. I can just shuffle around the city. I can have a good time. I can drink as many cups of coffee as I want right up until about 11:45 when you shut all the coffee shops. Like it's
11:45. Where are you? What's still open in Adelaide? 11:45. We have a nice grid network with your streets. So if you get lost, you just go one over. It's very convenient.
I mean, it is. Now, I do love it, like, to come here to try the shows, but you work out what the traps are of the show. That's the problem.
Yeah, right.
Like so Will Legitimate, it turns out, you absolutely nailed it.
Yeah.
But there's already been a couple of radio interviews where people have come a cropper on Will Legitimate. They have not been able to get
that. What have they ran with?
Oh, all sorts of other extra vowels and letters in Will Legitimate. So I don't know if you practice it or if it's just your professional broadcasting experience.
No, it's just the fact that I can read English, I think.
Yeah, okay.
I probably would have stuffed it up, so I'm glad so I did the intro. Now, mate, I've got a bit of a bone to pick with you. It's 39 degrees and you're in a North Face bloody parka, mate.
Yeah, mate.
What are you doing? How's your thermostat?
I'm hiding my body. I'm ashamed of my body. I come into this studio and you're all so beautiful. Like the two of you, you're like Adelaide Radio's Ken and Barbie. I come in here, like so does us all. Like I give him a little man hug and I can't go in too hard because he's all like firm.
And I was moisturising my legs when you walked in.
Literally. You've got short shorts on. It looks like you're in your pyjamas. And you've got these big long legs, like it's like we're making a workplace documentary about sexual harassment as I walk into your boudoir and you're like creaming yourself up for the interview.
Well, Beck was
like, I'm not making this up. Like if people are listening to this, like I've literally walked into the studio, you have your long legs out, you have like a cream that you're rubbing into these long legs that you have only half rubbed in as I've come in. So it's just this white cream running down your legs, and then you just moisturize it into yourself. And then you turn to me and say, it's mango and lychee.
Correct.
Like you've been rubbing a boost juice into your legs.
Mate, you spotted it. Do you know what happened? Honestly, I was out there chatting to you, bringing you into the studio, and I saw her peek up and went, geez, Will's here, and she got the pump bottle and started squirting it all over herself.
And I thought my legs were a bit scaly, and I didn't know you were going to come in at that particular creaming moment.
I was, honestly. I was trying to be professional, you know? Like, I was trying to come in, like, talk about the show, like, talk about Adelaide and the whole time. And then you chirped in, like, why are you wearing a jacket? I'm like, why aren't you wearing any pants? Like,
that's a good point.
Work. Don't you think that's more the issue here?
By the end of the interview, mate, she'll offer to rub some mango and lychee on your legs, don't worry, because you've got the shorts, she'll go the calves.
You know the weird thing is, so this is how much of my body that I'm willing to shove off, is this little bit. I have the longer shorts, they're over the knee, and then I've got socks. I'm not doing anklet socks. I don't have the confidence or the hips to bend down and put on anklet socks. I need something that I can pull up with the top of them, so I've got my socks.
Actually,
and here's what I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you something I wouldn't normally show other people, but I'm about to show you something very embarrassing, but here it is. Look, watch this.
That's Will's knees.
They're the whitest legs I've ever seen. Oh. But your calves are slightly tan.
Yes. That little gap, that little bit that I show off to the world, the only bit of my entire body that ever sees sun is this bit that you're seeing now between below my knee and to the top of here. By the way, back, look, see white again there where the socks start.
That's amazing. So
it's just 30 centimetre tan
on my shins.
The show is Will Legitimate, going through to Sunday, 17th of March at the Garden of Unearthly Delight. Well, great to have you here. Get down on the floor. I'm going to do your calves now with some mango and lychee.
I refuse to respond to that statement.
Stop smiling.
SAFM's Beck and Soda. 6 to 9 weekdays. SAFM.